You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
Actually, it's the lead play in our offense.
Yes, our YN or a tight end to open up somewhere between 6 feet and 9 feet. Get an isolation with the linebacker. Tell the tackle to take the defensive end if he's over him. If he's not, to drive down on the first man to his inside. If the YN has the linebacker taken out, he cuts inside. If the YN has the linebacker in, he comes all the way around. If you look at this play, what we're trying to get is a seal here and a seal here. And try to run this play in the alley.
What's up, guys? Welcome into Packers Total Access. My name is Clayton. You can check us out on Packernet.com. Find me on Twitter at Packers_Access. Email us, PackersTotalAccess@gmail.com. Text us, 865-658-5824. Joined alongside Tim live in Green Bay. We got Emilio in Tennessee. We got Jacob on the Wisconsin-Minnesota border. My man, you'd think he was down in Miami. Yeah. Look how clean that shirt is.
Fresh out of Cuba.
Love it.
Oh, absolutely.
No, you're fresh off GTA Vice City. We already talked about this. Okay.
All right. Was he on the moped cruising?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Yeah,
we won't say what those were called in the game. That's a little bit borderline. You guys know what I'm talking about, too. So look at Tim up there shaking his head, trying to be the mature one. So hope everybody in the chat's had a great day. I know it's been a good one down here. We had the eclipse roll through. It was cloudy. Couldn't tell. So
it was raining the whole time.
Yeah, right. Did you guys get a good look at it anywhere where you were? I guess you were nowhere near it, were you? No.
Not really.
There you go. Yeah, it was interesting. I know Matt Ramage put the best one out, though. Check this out right here, guys. He threw us out earlier today. Look at, he got a good shot of the eclipse right here. You know what I'm saying?
The Bears still suck.
Like I said, offline with him, man. Protect Matt Ramage at all costs, man.
Absolutely.
He said national treasure, right? Mm-hmm. What are you laughing about, Jacob?
Nothing, man. People are just already dropping shots at Emilio.
Yeah. That's the way it goes in here, man. Emilio, dude, I've been trying to defend your honor, dude, but
yeah. Been trying, then subtly slides in. Well, yeah, he's holding his Lightning McQueen stuffed animal as he's
like, you'll be listening to the pod. I see.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, no, that was a good one. It's all right. That's fair.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, Emilio said he's in the backup room tonight. You know what I mean? He's they're doing some remodeling or whatever. Had to move some stuff around.
The car is on the lift, man. It's been on the lift since last night. I'm trying to paint the room. It's not happening. The whole thing's disassembled right now. So
I just imagine he's got one of those Fisher Price lifts, right? He's got the car sitting on it. You know what I'm saying? All right, Jacob. Start with you. Anything you want? Well, let me go to the chat real quick. This is good stuff right here. Omer says 17 more days of mock drafts left is all now, just so you can all lose your minds when Goot drafts a quarterback in the first round. Laughing my tail off.
Hey, that means a tattoo for Clay.
He's got to move up, though.
No, it does not. Thank you, Emilio. See,
but still, when you made that bet, I literally said, "Dude, I don't know about that."
You sure about that?
Especially with some rumor swirling that the Packers are one of like five or six teams that at least contacted Seattle about the 16th pick. So it's like, I don't know. Again, I told you Mandy's reaction. She was like,
you mean this rumor?
What's that?
You mean that rumor from Randy?
No, actually, there's a rumor going around that they're going to trade up to the 16 spot, or they're trying to trade up to the 16 spot. So whether it's true or not, we'll find out. There was like, you know how it is, Jacob. They every team calls around. And that's okay. They're interested in trading up there. They may just be testing the water. But nonetheless, if they trade up to 16, if they trade up in the first round and we're live on the show, everyone's going to go, you know they are. Because it might be a neck pad on the
way. And you don't think you're going to be holding your breath?
Hey, listen, man. If I got to get a neck tat, I got to get a neck tat. It just is what it is. You know what I'm saying? So then I can wear those cool shirts like Jacob. That's the goal. That's a life goal. So, yeah, there you go, Cody. We're going to get to that too. Kool-Aid's in town, posting from Lambeau, so he's visiting with the Packers. But I like what Jake Schavink said. He hit back, clapped back here on Ole Miss and said, "Ole Miss got a problem with mock drafters. Step up, LOL." So, yeah, you're outnumbered in here, Ole Miss. I kind of agree with Ole Miss, to be honest with you, but every night I get bullied into doing another mock draft, so that's the way that goes.
Magic throwing the 2 cents in here. Not a great move to draft Sweat the way it flows in Green Bay. That's probably true.
He gets one whiff of that Elk Stroganoff over there at 1919 Kitchen and Tap. He's going to be 425 on Sundays. I promise you that, man. That Elk Stroganoff, they have to roll me out of Lambeau Field Atrium when I get a plate of that. It is unbelievable. That's similar sound right there to the Elk Stroganoff. All right, let's just jump right into it. We had a couple of visits to the best of my knowledge today. Easton Butler just doing what he's doing. Guys, go give him a follow at Easton_Butler on X. Said the Packers are hosting cornerback Kool-Aid McKinstry on a top 30 visit today. So got that one in the books today. Then also you had Jermaine Burton. Says the Packers are hosting Alabama wide receiver Jermaine Burton on a top 30 visit today as well. And then this one right here kind of got me excited. I ain't gonna lie, man. At Hog NFL. The Kentucky running back, sweet baby Ray Davis, in Green Bay on a visit with the Packers. That shot definitely taken from the Lodge Kohler there right next to Lambeau Field. You see the Sledding Hills. So he's in town. Again, the top 30 visits could be smoke screens. I've heard many people who's been in around the game who have pointed that out over and over and over. Some of them are smoke screens. Some of them are just, hey, we got too many questions on this guy. It may even be more about let's get them off. Let's finally put it to bed and get them off the board in that specific spot, you know, whether it's first round, second round, third round, what have you. But we've seen in the past, and we highlighted it, you know, they definitely drafted a few players that came in for top 30 visits. But as far as those three right there, let's just go around the horn. Amelia, I'll start with you here. What do you think about Kool-Aid, man? You think there's a little smoke to that fire?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And we need the sound drops for it. I think we've talked about it many a times that – if we don't get the corner early, man, it's not going to happen. Maybe that's our 16 trade up. Maybe he's worried that every mock Goody's run, he can't get his hands on Kool-Aid at 25, and that he needs to be able to move up if they start falling off. So I like it. And then they're just going to kind of float around and grab whoever they can, whoever they think might fit the team, and just take a peek at them.
Yeah, and when you see where Kool-Aid is on the consensus big board as of right now, they've got him in a 24 spot. So that kind of feels like one that they might be hoping falls to him. You can see he's mocked right there, number 27 to the Cardinals. Again, these mocks don't mean anything. You know what I mean? It's just kind of – it's all guesswork at this point. But, Tim, what do you think about Kool-Aid McKinstry, man? You're the defensive guy here in the crew. Would you be okay with Kool-Aid at 25 or a potential trade-up and make sure you get him?
Two big thumbs up, for sure.
You have to say his defense to Tim, and he just goes,
Yeah. And I think when it comes to these visits, you know, I mean, there could be some smoke and mirrors, some, you know, little David Blaine effect, little magic trickery and some deception. But honestly, even with that being considered, I think that anyone that's here for a visit is on the radar and they're going to be considered when it comes to the horizontal boards. You know what I mean? And we get down to the nitty gritty. Anybody coming for a visit is in consideration, in my opinion. So I wouldn't write anyone off at this point. And, you know, Kool-Aid coming to town it's always a good thing, man. So fingers crossed that he does fall to us in the draft for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. What do you think, Jacob? You think there's any smoke to that fire? You think they're trying to get some questions answered when it comes to Kool-Aid McKinstry? Maybe specifically that foot, you know what I mean? Get a good look at it.
Yeah, I do. We'll talk about it, I'm sure, later, but it's interesting that he's only two spots away from the draft darling of Green Bay, which is Cooper DeJean, who definitely helped his draft stock today. We can get into that later. So I would assume that in this grouping right here, when you're looking at Nate Wiggins, all of a sudden I'm starting to think maybe Nate Wiggins is a guy that could maybe fall to us before Cooper and definitely maybe before Kool-Aid, because I think that people are starting to realize, like Amelia said, you got to grab your cornerback and you got to grab your tackle in the first two rounds. And I think that a lot of these guys might be flying off the board faster than we think, and which is exciting because, again, like at that 41 pick, a lot of dudes are going to possibly slide to us. And I don't know, man. I would be personally ecstatic if we could get Kool-Aid at 25. I just am now seeing I don't think it's gonna happen, man. I think they're gonna be this is where all of a sudden now I'm thinking that Goody may be actually moving up in this draft, which didn't seem like something that I still don't want us to move up, but I could see us doing it.
Yeah, I don't either, man. If someone asked me on Twitter earlier, they said if they were to move up to 16, they'd be in the Packers. And obviously that would be a trade with Seattle. And again, we don't know if those rumors are true. It came from yardbarker.com. I did a little background checking and everything, and it seems like everyone sees Yardbarker as a legit source. Now, he didn't name who he got that information from, to the best of my knowledge. But anyway, according to the trade chart that's in a lot of the draft guides this year, this is what it would basically take for Green Bay to trade up to number 16. You'd have to give up the 25th pick, which is worth 230 points. You'd have to give up the 88th pick, which is worth 47 points, and the 126th pick, which is worth 20 points. That puts you at 297, which is still about 7 points shy of the value of the 16th overall pick at 305 points. Now, again, it's rare that they're spot on. Sometimes people overpay to get to a spot. Sometimes they underpay, right? But that's kind of the ballpark. I mean, if that's what it would take to get to 16.
Don't do it.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. I immediately, in my mind, I said the same thing, Jake. I'm like, I want him to trade back, dude. I want him to trade back. But I immediately thought of Ted Thompson and the old story about him wanting, and I think it's on the Packers Legacy documentary, where he wanted Clay Matthews. And they went to him and said, well, it's going to take this, this, and this. And they said Ted snapped his head around at whoever it was that he was talking to and said, I don't care. I want the player. Right. So Goody comes from that school of thought too. If they've got someone, I think we would all agree that worked out pretty good with Clay. Right. So if you're telling me you're going to get a caliber of a player like Clay Matthews for the next 7, 8, 9, 10 years, I'd be okay with it. It's just, I'm with you, Jacob. I'm so conservative, man. I'm such a boring fan. It's like trade back, take multiple swings, you know.
But, well, it's just, to me, like you said, can you name those picks off that we'd have to give away real quick?
Yeah, and again, there's multiple ways you can come to this number, but the total number would be 305 points for the 16th pick from Seattle. That would be the 25th pick, that's worth 230 points, the 88th pick, that's worth 47 points, and then the 126th pick, that's worth 20 points. That puts you at 297, so you're still 7 points shy. But you never know. They may accept that. It may not. It may take a little less. That's just the trade chart. It's never, you know, nothing's ever set.
In my head, you guys know how many mock drafts we've done. Think about who we've taken at 25, who we've taken at 81 or 89, whatever that one is, 89. Think about who we've taken at 126. We're getting really good players there. To give up three quality picks, players, whatever you want to call them, to maybe move up to get a guy that there's nobody really in this draft that realistically I would want to move up for. There's so many dudes that I would just randomly just stay or possibly drop back 5-10 picks and be completely content with it. If that means I'm picking up one or two more picks in the top 100. I mean, right now we have 5 picks in the top 100. I just feel like this, I've talked about it many times, that this, in my opinion, the second to fourth rounds, this draft is deep as all, you know what, especially at the positions that we're looking for. So that's my 2 cents.
For sure. I'm going to try to pull up some of these charts here that shows who meets what requirements. So someone asked here in the chat, Coach Lynn said, if Nate Wiggins can gain some weight, would he be on the Packers board? Let me hop over to cornerback real quick. As far as Nate Wiggins and some of the thresholds here.
6'1", 173. He's, a little lean.
Yeah,
I'm about 6'1", 173 myself.
Yeah, so some of the thresholds that are required for a cornerback is, you know, obviously size, weight, age, all that stuff that kind of meet those thresholds the Packers like at corner. The only thing in the red on Nate Wiggins is his weight. They've got him listed at 182 here on this threshold chart. So it's a little closer, but it's still in the red. And then did not participate in the 3-cone, which requires at least a score of a 7. So as far as the threshold, it's green across the board other than the weight. And then, of course, that that 3-cone drill when it comes to Nate Wiggins. So hopefully that answered your question there, Coach Lynn. If he packs the weight on, He didn't run the three cone. Everything else checks out. So the Packers definitely couldn't say, no, he doesn't meet the threshold.
If he were, I mean, if you're going to go light and lean, you might as well go Ennis Rakestraw. That's all I'm going to say.
I bet you do. So it looks like to get him into the green, it would be 190 pounds. So if that weight is accurate at 182 that's listed there on those measurables, I think that came from.
So he put on weight because 33rd teams got him at 173.
They got Nate Wiggins at 173?
Yes.
Yeah, he was wow. Real late for his playing weight was really crazy light.
Yeah, and see, I've got Nate Wiggins sitting in the 25 spot right now. Are you sure the 33rd? That's where the 33rd team had Nate Wiggins right now? Seriously?
Six foot one, 173 pounds.
Oh, never mind. God, I thought you meant the 173 spot, Tim.
Gosh, no. I'm talking about
it. I've been smoking crap.
I'm about the weight.
Yeah, got you. So, yeah, and when we're talking about the corners, you know, specifically Wiggins, right? He's 25th on my board. Kool-Aid McKinstry, who just visited with the Packers, he is sitting at 20. And then, of course, everyone's talking about Cooper DeJean right now. He's sitting at 26. So it feels like those three players that they might potentially have their eyes on are going to be right around that 25 spot. You know, you notice you don't, to the best of my knowledge, you don't see them bringing in some of these higher name players like your Chop Robinsons, people like that, right? So that's the part that kind of makes me think they really haven't interviewed or done top 30 visits with people, you know, that are up there in that top 10 that might fall to 16 and make it worth pulling that trigger on the trade up. Other than Cooper DeJean, who's obviously rising up boards. You guys know, I think I had him in the 32 spot, I believe. He jumped to 26 with that RAS now in the back. So he jumped up a few spots there.
Did you have any graphic on Cooper? Or did you want to just kind of?
Yeah, we've got I don't have the free safety one that Jake shared. This is the one Jake shared earlier. He said Cooper DeJean, RAS card with the reported 40-time vert and broad jump, broad numbers in. Then he put went low end with the 40. Brugler reported 443 to 445. So he just went with the 445, I'm assuming here. Yeah. So his RAS is a corner. It's showing 9.85. It might not be exact yet, but he's definitely going to clear 9. There's no doubt about that.
No, I think he did end up with a 4.43, if I'm not mistaken.
Is that right?
He crushed it, man. If you watch him, he just looks like a missile, dude. When he comes out of that, his stance when he runs the 40, he just looks powerful. Especially too, if you watch, like people say that Cooper's worst sport might have been football. That he was a crazy good baseball player, crazy good basketball player. You watch some of his highlights, and the guy it was just him dunking on like corn fed boys. It's just him like literally running up and down the court, just
whoop. He's only 6 foot tall, Jacob, and he was having no problem dunking.
Dude. Yeah, he set state records in Iowa, right? So I mean, I think it was dude was absolutely elite. But would you rather have, you know, him at 6'1", 205, or Nate Wiggins at 6'2", 173?
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Exactly. Put your Goody hat on right now and look at this. Just even looking at this first one here, this RAS, this is a Goody pick all day.
It's a fact. Now, if you pop him over to free safety, 9.67, obviously the size is good, not great. The vertical is considered great, I guess, there at 8.92. His broad is a little bit lesser there with grade, with 7.92. And then a composite speed grade, obviously, through the roof for a safety there. So, and again, Mel Kiper, keep going back to it. Mel Kiper, whether you like him or not, he's been covering the draft a long time. Yeah, exactly. He said, of course.
Who in the hell is Mel Kiper, in a way?
That's not what he said. But he said that he's the best safety in the draft. Is what he told Wildy and Tausch the other day. Again, I'm not a big Mel Kiper fan, but I'm not going to be that guy that tries to pretend like I'm smarter than someone who's covered the draft for what seems like 40 years. Right. So yeah. I would much rather get information from former scouts, GMs, things like that. So
I got a question for you.
Yeah, man.
Is it fair to say that Cooper DeJean is probably Packer fans' first choice for pick 25? If he's on the board, would you think he's probably the most popular pick right now?
Yes,
among the fan base as a whole,
I think so. I'm trying to think of another name that they go that gets mentioned more often. If you mention offensive line, some people are like, ah, no way. You know, if you mention, especially right. if you mention interior offensive line, if you mention defensive line, we don't need it. We've already got a lot invested in defensive line, all that. So I don't know. What do you think, Emilio? Do you think Cooper DeJean is probably the front runner as far as Packer fans of who they would want there at 25?
Yeah, I think I'm kind of with Bates on this one. Like, for the fan base of the whole, yeah, I do think that the fan base is eyeballing him. But the problem is,
we all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing. But they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/builtforus. In the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We get all hyped up thinking we're going to get some high-value Jordan Love card, but with zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now, introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com, the only repack that provides real value, a complete view on all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now when I buy slab packs on Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. And honestly, the best thing for me and my son is the fact that we're kind of novices into this. When I walk into a card shop with my son, and a card says it costs $40, kind of just taking his word for it that that's a good value. So I appreciate the transparency on grading, as well as just getting excited about seeing what you could potentially get. Right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/packdaddy. Wow, that's crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's 40 bucks right there. Anyways, that's arenaclub.com/packdaddy for 10% off your first purchase. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I've had maybe a handful that actually fall where he actually does fall to us.
Right.
So, and then that's what gets me worried about Goody. You know, calling to trade up. Obviously, Goody calls on everything, but going to trade up, you know, how often does trading up actually work? The number. Right.
What if you trade up and you don't get them?
Right. Yep. Someone gets taken right ahead of you. It's not like, I mean, you could wait till pick 15, but then you have 3 minutes to make the call and make the decision, and you got to be right. So,
Definitely. So, just to kind of recap here, Kool-Aid McKinstry doing a top 30 visit with the Packers today. Again, I've got Kool-Aid in the 20 spot. If he falls to 25, I'm totally on board with that. That's another one I just want to say. Pick Kool-Aid McKinstry, you got roasted for it on the mock drafts, right? People are like, oh, you got the injury with the foot, this and that. Then he ran that 40, and that kind of quieted down a little bit. But I wouldn't put that pass on there with Kool-Aid potentially being the pick. I know some people have Terrion Arnold. Many people have Terrion Arnold over his teammate, Kool-Aid McKinstry. I've got Terrion Arnold in the 32 spot, personally. So the big thing for me with Terrion Arnold is 2022 PFF grade not that good, right? Now, you look at Cooper DeJean, it's kind of quite the opposite, right? You know, Terrion Arnold, not as good according to PFF in 2022, was really good in 2023, with Cooper DeJean, he was really good in 2022, not so good in 2023. Kool-Aid McKinstry, pretty much solid in both years as far as PFF grade. Early consensus board had consensus big board had him in the 12th spot at the end of the college football season, so he kind of he was sitting there looking real good. And then you had the 33rd team had him in the 13th spot when the information was taken down. Daniel Jeremiah has him in the 36th spot. So, and as far as his RAS, I think he scored a 7, I believe, is in his RAS in the 7. So, got a slight bonus there. I'm eager to see what Greg Cosell has to say about Kool-Aid. I'm hoping he gives his take on him. So, nonetheless, though, there's a visit in Green Bay. Let's move on to Jermaine Burton and watch all of Packers' Twitter explode if they take a wide receiver early in this draft. Look at Jacob already going, So, Easton Butler tweeted, the Packers are hosting Alabama wide receiver Jermaine Burton on a top 30 visit today. You can't see the second image on the right, but you click on it, and he had the location tagged, and it said Green Bay, Wisconsin. So that's obviously where he was at. Now, when we look at Jermaine Burton, and let's go to the consensus big board here real quick. Let's kind of see where he falls in. If the Packers are bringing him in, it's I think it's because they think he there's a chance he could fall and get really good value later on in the draft. Let's see if we can find him here without narrowing it down to the wide receivers. Jermaine Burton. We're looking for Bama, right? Boom, 77. So he peaked at 41. He's sitting at 77 right now. Jacob, what do you think about Chris N says Burton is a head case. Fit right in with these three guys on this podcast. Let's see what he's doing in his off time. What do you think about Jermaine Burton, Jacob? You like it? Let me ask you this. Where would you be okay with him taking Jermaine Burton?
Not ever.
I don't know if he can. I really don't.
I personally would not touch this guy with a 10-foot pole. I believe he was at Georgia to start his career, had to transfer over to Alabama. I mean, he's a great athlete, and he's great with the ball in his hands and all that kind of stuff, but he does seem kind of like a little bit of a off-the-field issue kind of guy, and I don't want us to do that. I don't – if we're going to take a poke at wide receiver, this doesn't seem like the guy. It doesn't seem like this type of person we want to bring into this locker room. It doesn't seem like the type of person we want to bring into the city of Green Bay. He's definitely talented, that's for sure, but I would not understand that dynamic whatsoever, especially when we got guys like on the back end of our wide receiver roster, like Grant DeBose, Bo Melton, Malik Heath. There's no reason for me to put any sort of locker room possible cancer in there. I just don't want it. So,
gotcha.
That's going to be a no for me, Doug.
Yeah. So the consensus big board has him in the 77 spot. He peaked at 41. Some of that off-field stuff or some of the attitude stuff might be why he's kind of sitting that much lower. So I've got him in the 133 spot on my board. His PFF grade in 2022 put him in the 245th best wide receiver. And then last year, if I understood correctly, I think he was 62nd. The consensus big board had him in the 60 spot. And then the 33rd team has him at 153. So I've got him at 133, kind of in the middle.
You see that, Emilio?
Yeah, I saw that.
Oh, no. Emilio, what do you think of Jermaine Burton?
I'm with Ron here. I think that's why Goody brought him in, was to see how bad the character issues were, how much of a head case he is, right? But I mean, he's going to – if he brings in a head case, who has to deal with a Matt, right? So it's not like it's not like it should be, you know, 100% up to Goody. But, again, they were also at the Alabama Pro Day, so it's not like they didn't get a firsthand look at his, you know, his athleticism in person and then – bringing him in again for a second look. Hey, you know, let's talk, you know, face to face without all these cameras around. What's going on? Do you think it would change, you know, coming up here, sort of thing?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So is it a yes or a no from you? What spot do you think, Emilio? What spot would you be okay with
him? I would be all right taking him in probably the fourth or the fifth, maybe if something fell like that. But I wouldn't. Ideally the fifth, but I wouldn't really want anything sooner than that.
I think that's what Goody is kind of looking at with wide receiver. Some people think there's no chance he takes a receiver. I think if the right guy falls, I mean, you look at what happened with Tay Wicks, right? So, yeah. And I'm not trying to say that Jermaine Burton is the next Tay Wicks. I'm not trying to draw that parallel. It's just if the value is good enough there late in the draft, maybe it is worth taking a shot on someone with character issues. As Randy Moss once said, there ain't a damn thing to do in Green Bay, so maybe you won't get in trouble in Green Bay, right? So, Tim, what do you think? Other than eating half a chickens, there ain't much going on in Green Bay, right? What do you think of Jermaine Burton?
Yeah, you know, fifth round or later, maybe, if he falls. But, I mean, Joshua Cephas comes to mind. Luke McCaffrey comes to mind. I mean, there's other, you know, receivers that could be on the board mid to late rounds that – I think would be a better bet. But I mean, I wouldn't be bummed out because, you know, if they did take Burton, you never know. You know, Green Bay has a way of impacting players too. You know, you come and play for the Packers that they can impact your career long-term and change your trajectory as a young man. We're actually seeing that in motion with Quay Walker right now. A guy who has just made strides on and off the field since he got to Green Bay. So, you never know. You know, any of these guys deserve a shot, but I'm not comfortable taking Burton any sooner than fifth round, or any receiver for that matter, any sooner than fifth round, you know, with the amount of picks that we have.
Here, so with PFF grade last year, or yeah, 2023, 79.7 with 20.5 yards per catch, 8 touchdowns. He's at 2.75 yards per route run, with a 56% contested catch rate, which, I mean, is not too bad. But it looks like the dude has been a deep threat. His year before was 17 yards per reception, and the year before that was 19 yards per reception.
Got it. So, hey, do me a favor, Emilio, since you got PFF there. There's been a lot of conversation about Brian Thomas Jr., and, you know, he's in the 80s on my board. I think I've got him – I don't want to misquote you. I've got him in the 89 spot, right? Go to PFF and see what he looks like there. Just to double check for me, because I've got his 2022 grade, if I've got this in the computer correctly here, 603rd or around that spot as far as 2022 and wide receiver ranking. I just want to see that real quick because there's a lot of people that are just – I mean, they absolutely love Brian Thomas Jr. I'm looking at my board going, what did I screw up here? Why is it –
So his 2021 grade 62.7, 2022 63.3, and 2023 he was 74.2. His yards per catch was 12 in his first year, 11 in 22, and then 17.3 last year. He was at a 2.61 yards per route run, so a little bit less, and 53% contested catch rate, and his receiving grade was a little bit worse.
Gotcha. So that's why I've got him where I've got him.
Right.
They're crazy about him. I know we've talked about him a lot on here, but it's just like I don't understand it, man. I mean, you look at the stats, that explains it, right? What do you have, like 16, 17 touchdowns last year?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so he was a touchdown.
17.
Machine. 17. So it's got to be that, and he's got to kind of be that deep thready. I think he racked up like 1,100 yards too, but again, like Jacob said, you don't see clean catches and some of these things that get you some negative grades because it's just not – really polished. I was just wondering about that. I'm eager to see if he really does go in the first round, and I'm pretty sure he will based off of the people that I'm listening to. I mean, Daniel Jeremiah has him 15 on his top 50. The 33rd team has him in the 20 spot. So again, the only thing that drug him down, if I didn't have the PFF grades implemented into the grading system here, he would probably fall somewhere around 19 or 20 for me. Which right here you're seeing him in the 18 spot. So
right.
Yeah. So there's that. The next one, Tim, I'm going to start with you on this one, big dog. Sweet baby Ray Davis hanging out in Green Bay. Do you know anything about sweet baby Ray Davis, Tim? Have you ever watched any highlights of old sweet baby Ray?
I haven't seen much of him at all. So I do like the view, though. This is a great shot of Arians Hill. And glad that he's in town. And I do think the Packers should go ahead and snag another running back if possible in this draft. So, yeah, I'll have to watch my Kentucky tape and get up on sweet baby Ray there. But great photo there for the gram, as they say. Do it for the gram. Good shot. Good shot of Arians Hill right there.
Do it for the Vine. Y'all remember those days? Man.
Yeah.
Emilio was still in diapers when that happened, I believe, wasn't he?
No. I remember Vine. Come on now.
I wish I was as young as you do. So as far as the consensus big board here, they've got Ray Davis in the 119 spot. He peaked at 89. Tim, by the way, if you're going to watch some Kentucky tape, go watch him play Florida. Oh, my God, dude. He needed oxygen after every drive. I think he rushed for almost – he almost set the record, if I remember correctly, the SEC record for rushing yards in a game. Like, he just went absolutely off. So, Jacob, what do you think about Ray Davis? Obviously, the consensus big board has him in the 119 spot. He peaked at 89. What do you think about him, man? Would you be okay with the Packers taking him and where?
Yeah, I personally love Ray Davis. That would probably be my running back two or three. I'd be okay with him more likely if he kind of popped in maybe like the 88-91 range, one of those two picks. I'd be totally okay with it. If you watch him run, Tim, he kind of reminds me of like he's just very – even keel level, very low runner. Kind of reminds me of like a Maurice Jones-Drew. Like he's just kind of like a pinball. He is an absolute. Just it's very hard to take him down. runs just very equally, and he is. I want to say, can he catch? That's the only thing that I'd be worried about is whether or not he can catch the ball out of the backfield.
Yeah, two drops last year. Caught 32 of 39 targets.
My man, nice. There we go.
He's 5'8", 5'9", something like that. So
he's 5'10". I thought okay. He was. Emilio, can you double check that?
That's 5'10", 216.
That's okay. That's a bowl right there. That's a pinball.
That's a thick bowl of cold grits right there.
Thicker than a bowl of oatmeal, baby.
Do you like him more than Braylon Allen?
Yes.
As a pick for this team?
I do personally, just because I think Braylon Allen's more of like a – I feel like Braylon Allen is more of just a hammer looking for a nail no matter what. And I think Ray Davis is more of a little bit of a finesse back where he has, I don't want to say he's not finesse like Aaron Jones, but he's got like at least a little bit where he can make a cutback. He can do some, you know, some juke moves. Like I said, he can catch the ball pretty decently. It seems like, and I want to say that he can block. I think he's actually decent at that.
He had over 1,000 yards the past 2 years, right? With roughly 200 carries apiece. The dude was tearing it up, honestly.
The reason I ask because I feel like Braylon Allen's the other fan favorite as far as running backs for the most part when we're talking about.
I will say that Braylon Allen, at first I kind of scoffed about it, but the more I look into him, he is a beast of a dude, and he's only 20 and a half years old. He is very, very young. He is the youngest player, I think, coming out in the draft this year. Top three, I think.
The big knock that I've heard on Braylon Allen, and again, I think it was Greg Cosell saying this, was he doesn't run like his size, like in a bad way. Like it doesn't look like he's looking for that one cut. All right, let me run someone over, get the yards that are there. It's like he plays a little bit like – I don't want to say timid. That's not the right word, but he's just not that. And, again, like many fans pointed out to me, he came in recruited as a linebacker, so he's still kind of, you know, fresh at learning how to play running back, you know. So he may go on to be a great pro. I hope it happens for Wisconsin's sake, man. That'll help with recruiting and all that. But
did y'all see the picture that Doug's referencing here?
Did, and it's funny because Braylon Allen looks small in that picture, even though he's not small. You know what I mean?
Like I said, I've not to humble brag here. I've met Derrick Henry multiple times, and I could not believe how massive he was. When I said, and I'm 5'11", closer to 6 foot. He was so gigantic. When I sat next to him, I shook his hand, and I was just like, oh, my God. Like, it was – I cannot believe how he's pretty big, and I could not.
You guys both did it. You knew it was coming. You knew it was coming.
That's it was just unreal. He was there with also Delanie Walker, so it was like looking at freaking Derrick Henry, and I'm like, wow, you're a massive person. And then Delanie Walker, and I'm just like, how does a human being even get ready to tackle? That's where like we start talking about, oh, you can't do the drop tackle or the hip tackle anymore. It's like, how are we supposed to get these humans down? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't get it.
So Sweet Baby Ray had four more catches, right, than Braylon Allen last year, and had roughly 200 more yards receiving.
Okay, see, there's That's what I wanted to know. That's why I wanted to compare the two, because like, if you look at them just, you know, by the numbers, Braylon Allen looks like more of the body type you might want back right. there. Like right. Jacob was saying, kind of a battering ram. But if you're not as much of a threat as a pass catcher, that's not going to, it's not going to work well in a Matt LaFleur offense. So I think Sweet Baby Ray is on the radar right now.
So yeah. So he was 1.28 yards per route run. Sweet Baby Ray was, Allen was 0.73 yards per route run.
Okay.
Got it. And when you look at the PFF grades too, Ray Davis starting in 2021, 76, 82, 87. So he got better every single year. Braylon Allen starting in 2021, 80, 80, 74. So kind of peaked at 80, took a slight step back, which isn't horrible, right? But it's like Ray Davis checks the boxes, checks every box over Braylon Allen, at least it seems like on the surface. This is that picture Jacob was talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, and Braylon Allen's on the left. Guys, Braylon Allen is 6'2", 243 pounds. He's built like a Mike linebacker. Look at Derrick Henry compared to that dude. He makes Braylon Allen look small. That's just wild.
Dude's got a T-bone steak from his earlobe to his shoulder.
I like those tats, too, man. I might have to seek you at the back trade up and get a quarterback in the first round. I may have to hit him up in the DM, say, man, I need some recommendations on a tattoo here. So, why ain't he wearing a shirt like you, Jacob? That'd look good on him, wouldn't it, bud?
He'd look good. So, did you know this is a Roadhouse shirt? This is what he wore in Roadhouse,
man. Yeah, it looks like Conor McGregor's Roadhouse shirt. Yeah. Just waiting for you to walk in a room and go, let's see what this is all about.
Watch the movie. Hi, Dalton. Goes out.
Roadhouse.
What'd you say, Emilio?
That's unbelievable. Watches a movie one time, goes out and buys a shirt.
that's the way it works. It's how Roadhouse works on you, man.
Sorry.
There's the Sweet Baby Ray talk. I don't know, man. I'm trying to think. Let me just go around the horn. Where would you guys be okay with them taking him at? You know, again, he's sitting in the 119 spot here on my board. I've got him at 94, so I've got him significantly higher on my board. Mainly because the PFF grades, the things that drug him down was the 33rd team had him in the 129 spot at the time. His RAS, I think he scored a plus 7 on the RAS, so pretty decent RAS, not too bad. Let's go around the horn with it. Where would you be okay with taking him? Jacob, I'll start with you, man.
Man, I really like him a lot. The only thing is, it's like Coach Len saying right here, it's like, how many hammers do we need? You know, we got Jacobs, Dylan, Lewis. If you were to throw in Ray, maybe Sweet Baby Ray. But again, who knows what's going to happen with that running back room next year. I would like to maybe see Brock saying here, or like Bucky Irving. I like a little more scat backs. Was it Wright out of Tennessee? Was another kind of that type of back. Maybe even guys like in the later rounds, like is it Isaiah Davis? Is that your draft crush there, Emilio? From CSU?
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, I don't know. Ron says 126. Yeah, I'd say probably about late third, maybe fourth at the earliest, I'd say.
That's when you at least start taking a peek over there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jalen Wright is 112 on my board. Emilio, you may be able to confirm this, but he had a really, really high PFF grade last year, right? Jalen Wright out of Tennessee, halfback.
He had a 90.1 on 325 snaps.
Oh, so only 325
snaps. Yeah, and that's, I mean, not.
That's not terrible.
Yeah, Blake Corum had 471, and Bucky Irving had almost 600. So, yeah, that's, he's a little light on the snaps. But young dude, 21 years old, 5'11", 210.
Yeah. 9-plus on the RAS, so definitely one of those.
A little bit. But, again, this is what kind of takes me back to Sweet Baby Ray. This dude was 22 receptions on 25 targets, and had 141 yards. So maybe he would break, you know, the 330 where Sweet Baby Ray is, and, you know, 8 more catches. But I don't mind that. I really don't mind Sweet Baby Ray's, you know, production. The problem is I don't really want to take him in the third round. Right. Fourth, maybe, ideally fifth. But is he going to fall? Probably not. that's where I think they were like, hey, hopefully Lou Nichols, you know, hopefully Lou Nichols would have worked out. But that's what kind of takes me back to thinking, if one of our draft picks didn't hit last year, is that still on the board this year? Is Goody right. still looking at that same kind of thing? Obviously, it changes with the roster, but still.
Yeah. What do you think, Tim? Where would you be okay with taking a Ray Davis if the Packers, this visit goes good with him?
200. 100, you know, like – and that's just my, again, my defensive bias, you know, like I'd like to not see a running back until at least the fourth round or later in this draft. I look at guys that I still think have value. Like, I'm just checking my notes, like Rasheen Ali out of Marshall. You know, we talked about Frank Gore Jr. You know, there's a few you can grab, but I don't know about, you know, third round pick on a running back in general. But I guess I would say he'd be, you know, kind of higher up on the list if we were to do that, you know, right. in the third round. I'd go with Sweet Baby Ray for sure. But I'm just not a fan of taking a running back with our third round pick at all.
Yeah, and the thing that DJ talked about the other day, and we mentioned it on the pod, he said that there's clusters of safeties and running backs in that second and third wave. And you see it right here. I mean, if you start at the 100 mark, the consensus big board has Braylon Allen 101, Marshawn Lloyd 109, Audric Estime 110, Bucky Irvin 113, Will Shipley 115, Ray Davis 119, Isaac Garrido 129. So right there, you've got a pocket of guys. And when you get that many guys that grade out very, very similar, they may have the same exact grade on them, right? They being NFL teams, whether it's a 64 or whatever the grade is, you look at those and go, we'd be okay with any of them. Don't take it yet. And that starts driving those down, right? They continue to drop. So,
Well, yeah. I think that maybe they're looking at it like, all right, how did AJ Dillon turn out? When did we pick him? How did Aaron Jones turn out? When did we pick him?
Great point.
Can I bring up like the biggest issue that we haven't covered yet?
Yeah, let's hear it, man. What you got?
Did y'all know that Kevin King just got signed by the Atlanta Falcons? Because if I'm not mistaken, Jerry Gray is the assistant head coach there.
Mm-hmm.
Knew that Kevin King, and dude, Kevin King is still a diehard Pack fan. Not sure if you guys know this.
He's big
still
caught
a bit on Twitter. I am over the moon happy for Kevin King. I think that Tim already gave him the round of applause, but if I could do another one, I just personally.
Now, I'm rooting for the guy, man. I think he's just an awesome dude, man. No doubt about it.
I tell anyone that's a Kevin King hater that, you know, if you knew what he went through to get to where he is right now, you would respect that game and you would respect that hustle and that grind and that dedication. You know, it was an unfortunate thing with him. You know, he took a year off to address an injury and ended up getting injured again. You know, it's a freak thing that happens. So for him to get signed and to be back in the NFL, that's huge. And, you know, you got to applaud that, man, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Since we were talking about running backs there real quick, we've got the threshold for the Packers. There's several of them that meet the threshold, none of which are the guys we talked about other than Jalen Wright. Jalen Wright meets every threshold as far as RAS of 7.25 or higher, age, weight, broad jump, which is kind of the commonality that the Packers are – not that they're specifically looking at that, but just in the past, that's the top that they have taken. When you look at Ray Davis, let me look real quick if I could find him here. His RAS is a 4.64. So the RAS I had on him may not be accurate here. This is why we talk about this stuff too, so I can get this straightened out. Ray Davis. No, I didn't have an RAS. Okay, so he actually got a zero there. So just to kind of mention, if they did take Ray Davis, it would be out of the norm. You know what I'm saying? And it's possible they could, right? We don't know. I'm hoping that they're kind of looking up at that stuff and the way they've drafted in the past with what happened with Jaden Reed and what happened with Carl Brooks last year. Go, you know what? Maybe we need to kind of back off a little bit on the athletic profile and let's focus on the tape a little more. Because those two guys, I mean, obviously, I think Carl Brooks is going to blow people's minds this year. I think he's going to come out and we're going to go – we may go defensive line in the first round if the right guy falls, like a Johnny Newton or a Byron Murphy. But I could also see it being something that if we don't go defensive line and Carl Brooks just comes out and dominates, then we've got our Kenny Clark replacement. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? put on a little bit more weight if you need him to play a little more of that 1-3 tech from time to time. But I'm excited to see him continue to grow. But let's do this. Let's wrap it up with something I thought was really interesting. This was Malik Nabers and Jaden Daniels talking earlier today. Jacob, did you see this where they had a conversation that was being recorded or whatever?
I did not.
So they were live on something, whether it was the Gram or it was the old Twitter Bird X, whatever. But they were having a conversation, and Malik Nabers, listen, I think he's probably just stirring up trouble. But this is what I love about drafts. Some people will roll their eyes at this stuff and say it's a nothing burger. Go, okay, cool. Find something else to talk about then, Hosscat. We're going to mention it here. This is Malik Nabers and Jaden Reed talking. And if you don't understand what they're saying because the sound quality is a little bit bad, I'll explain what he was kind of hinting at. But here we go.
I don't know, Malik. Why are they talking about you? You high maintenance, bro.
It's cap.
They be capping, huh, bro?
Right.
You know they got to pick somebody in this gym. I guess they just picked me.
Brian Thomas to the Saints?
Dang, so this is the wrong video. Daggummit. There's two videos attached, and maybe download the second one. Essentially what he said in the one I was trying to get, the video I was trying to get, was Malik Nabers said, y'all, it's going to blow your mind when you see where Jaden Daniels goes. And Jaden Daniels kind of laughs about it, and you can tell he gets a little bit awkward or whatever, and he said he might be reunited with your boy. Said something along those lines. And I immediately thought, what if Chicago takes Jaden Daniels over Caleb Williams after all these Bears fans have just built Caleb Williams up to be the second coming? I'm telling you, they will flip so quick, obviously. I don't think it's too far-fetched. I think Jaden Daniels might be the better quarterback. Now, there's a lot of people that say, you are crazy. There's more that goes into being a quarterback than just natural talent and ability, right? Caleb Williams, I've got number 4 on my board. Number 3, actually, on my board. And Jaden Daniels, I've actually got – where is he at? He was a little bit lower. I've got him in the 12 spot. But if they go Jaden Daniels, and then you guys correct me if I'm wrong, I think Chicago has another pick in the top 10, right? Is it 8th, 7th, or 8th?
I thought it was 9, yeah.
9. So what if Malik Nabers falls to that spot? And that's what he's talking about, is maybe Chicago has talked with him and told Jaden, hey, we're taking you. Right, and maybe they have spoken, you know, at some point to Malik Nabers and said, "Hey, we'd like to put you in the number 9 spot." But I wish I had the right video. There's no way I could download it because those two videos were attached together. I could play it live on Twitter probably, but the quality would be a little bit bad. But what do you guys think about that? Do you think there's any world where Caleb Williams isn't the number 1 pick? I guess that's the right way to ask it. Go ahead, Jacob.
Yeah, I do. I mean, if I'm the Bears, I'm not taking Caleb Williams. Are you kidding me? I mean, it just screams I'm a red flag. Like, just no. I don't want to get into my personal issues as to why I would not take that man, but I would not take that man. Just saying there. I would look. Yeah, I've done this myself when I do Bears draft picks. What I do is I trade out of 1. I trade back into anywhere within the top 10. If I can get one of the top big quarterbacks randomly that falls, great. If not, I'm going to trade back again. I'm going to grab Bo Nix, or I'm going to grab Michael Penix Jr. And then I'm going to get me like 5 or 6 other draft picks. Get me maybe Joe Alt or like a Malik Nabers or a Rome Odunze. And I'm going to start building my franchise from the bottom up. I'm going to take this year as a scrap year and then absolutely rebuild the whole offense. And the defense is starting to come around. And then I could turn the Bears franchise around. But they won't do that because they're a bunch of freaking idiots.
All right, so here, I think this is the right video. Here we go.
I'm gonna tell y'all where Jimmy was. Keep it interesting there. If you want to do all that, I'm gonna say where he going. And y'all never gonna believe it.
Wow.
He might be part of the old homie.
Wow.
That's what you wanna do. That's what you want to do? Okay.
Partners with his old homie.
Oh, no, she's talking about.
I'll let y'all
I don't know what you're talking about. I wouldn't have thought anything of it until he said, I don't know what you're talking about, because he looks uncomfortable at top. Like,
yep.
You get the same vibe there, Emilio.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. And I mean, the problem is Chicago's trying to save their, you know, they're trying to save their franchise here. And if they,
like they do eggs, every year,
yeah, they put all their eggs into that first round pick basket, man. Next year they won't have it, or maybe they'll walk right into it again. But that the way he answered that, I definitely think there's a little bit of smoke there.
Yeah, it kind of feels like. What do you think, Tim? Is this just a bunch of BS in draft line season here?
Yeah, I mean, we're 16 days away, 17 days away from the draft. I mean, this stuff is going to ramp up. There could be, you know, even in a little BS, there could be some truths in there. You know, you never know, but it's all speculation at this point. I mean, regardless of whoever the Bears take with their first two picks in the first round, they're probably still going to be saying,
oh, no, we suck again.
That's a fact.
I see some people in the chat here. Brock in the chat said they're talking about reuniting with Brandon Ayuk, both being traded somewhere. So that could be the case too, right?
What if the Bears took Marvin Harrison Jr. at number one and they took a quarterback at nine?
Ooh, that's interesting.
Has anyone thought of that?
Then they would still only have two picks after that. So I don't know where they're going to be helping their team. Yeah. I mean, yeah, they took Marvin Harrison, but
listen, Bill Walsh
101. Right. No, I get it.
Bill Walsh 101, wide receiver is the last piece you put in place, right? But it's the Bears. They're not going to do anything that makes sense. So if it were me selecting up there, you got to make darn sure it's the right quarterback of the future. If I'm not 110% sold on Caleb Williams, Drake May, or Jaden Daniels, then I'm probably taking Joe Wall if I have to stick the pick. I'm getting my franchise left tackle, putting that in place. That's a tier one position of importance. But if you do think that Caleb Williams is a generational talent, you got to take him. If he really is a generational talent, then you're saying he may very well be a Peyton Manning. He may very well be one of these guys that was taken extremely high and can live up to it. I understand the concerns, Jacob. And here's the thing. Before the nails were painted, before all this stuff happened here recently where, you know, he's kind of drawing attention to himself, I was saying this last year and got raked over the coals for it. I'm like, there's something about this guy that just doesn't feel like he's a leader. And you're looking across the way at Jaden Daniels, like, that dude's a leader. CJ Stroud, that dude's a leader. When you look at Caleb Williams and the way he acts on the field, it's just like the whole painting the nails and not pink either. I'm talking about when he put FU Notre Dame or whatever on his nails. I was going, what great quarterback in the history of the game did something like that and went on to play in the NFL and play well?
And you know what? Like you're saying, Clayton, he may very well be a generational talent. We don't know. Time will tell, right? Well, let me ask you this. Is there any question that Marvin Harrison Jr. is a generational talent at receiver right now? Mm-hmm. Like if you had to go with, you know, I know we're talking different positions here,
right?
But you know, the caliber of player best available, you have the first pick in the draft, pound for pound, who's a better player?
Right.
It may very well be Marvin Harrison Jr.
Well, on my board, I've got Joe Walt, Marvin Harrison Jr., and Caleb Williams, all in tier one, okay. Along with Brock Bowers as it sits right now. So, Brock Bowers.
But if Caleb doesn't work out and you take him, and Marvin Harrison doesn't work out and you take him, you probably could get more out of moving Harrison off your team than you could Caleb Williams. I would assume if he has the kind of, you know, career that Justin Fields has, they're going to get, what, another six for him? For next year, like a seventh.
That's something that Ryan pointed out on the pod here recently too, when he was going back and talking about Caleb Williams. Like, if I understood the information he was sharing, and granted it wasn't the entire story, but the stats he did share was like, it kind of sounded like Justin Fields have more production than Caleb Williams. Is that kind of how y'all took away from that pod, or did I misunderstand it? It kind of felt like he was like, and then last year alone, like when you looked at some of the key statistics across the board, Caleb Williams wasn't the better quarterback last year. Right. So, I don't know, man. It just depends on what grade these teams have on these guys. But, Tim, what you said, even if he does have generational talent, if there's a hiccup in the interviewing process where it kind of feels like, this guy's kind of into him and not into the team type approach, I'm not suggesting that. I don't know the dude, right? But if that is the case, that's as good a reason as any to not spend that number one pick on him, you know? So, yeah. Again, we talk about this stuff because it's going to shape the draft, man. It's going to shape the entire first round, and the first round is going to shape the entire draft. That's the way it works. So,
Caleb Williams not going number one would shake everything up right there. Like, if for some reason the Bears did make a different move, you know?
Yeah. If I were the Bears and I wasn't 110% percent sold on one of these quarterbacks, I'm trading back two or three times in the first round. I'm just collecting so many dang picks, and I'm just going to take multiple swings and try to build this roster out. I just think they're going to go the same route they did the last time and just put all those eggs in one basket and say, all right, this is our guy. He's the savior. They're going to prop him up for 3 years, and all of a sudden amnesia hits. And it's like, no, what are you talking about? We didn't think he was the guy. Let's trade him for a, you know, fifth, sixth round pick. It's just right. It's wild, man. So,
and it's crazy. I was looking. So out of the last 26 drafts, only four of them have been non-quarterbacks first overall pick.
Wow.
Trayvon Walker, 2022. Miles Garrett, 2017. Jadeveon Clowney, 2014. And Eric Fisher, 2013.
That's crazy.
Wild to think. So you got to be 100% certain. If not, they just pull the trigger on QB. But that's going back to, it's a different draft, QB draft versus the rest of the draft.
Yeah. Deadfish has got the comment of the night. He said Caleb Williams reminds him of Bo Callahan. And I'm just waiting for confirmation whether Caleb Williams' teammates went to his 21st birthday party or not.
Party.
Hey, Jacob, here's a good question for you as we wrap up. When's the earliest you're allowed to watch draft day, man? When do you start getting into it, start watching draft day?
Ooh, well, now that you mentioned it, I might watch it tonight. So,
for me, it's usually about a week out.
I was going to say about a week away. Yeah,
definitely. All right. So, anything else? Let's go around the horn one last time. Tim, you got anything, buddy?
11 defensive players in the draft for the Packers. Go Pack.
What about you, Emilio?
Let's see. Oh, well, I haven't been in here in a couple days, so I did have to update the other slide we had sent in by none other than M. Smitty. We do have an updated picture of Clayton's last meal. All right. It was a bowl of honey, all right, and he had a spoon and a knife, and that's all he did.
Who do you think you are? I am.
Smitty got my bronchitis acted up. Smitty is he's the man. I love that he spends zero time on the footage. So much better. I think it was Jake Chavink seeing this and pointed out. He was like, I like how you, if you look close, you can actually see the original face in the background. He just didn't even bother taking it out.
Good enough. You get the point and send it.
Definitely get the point. Got the gut touching the table, right? That's anatomically correct. I promise you that.
I love that it's a knife and a knife and a spoon you're eating that bowl of honey with. Like, you don't care.
That's not a napkin around his neck either. That's his backup shirt that Mandy brought for him.
Exactly. I was sitting there. We were sitting at a place called Rocks the other day. It's like my spot. I love it. It's called Rocks Pizza, but I always get the wings, the burgers, and the nachos. And this place is just amazing. It's just one of those. You go in there. If you go in two or three times, you're gonna have people come up to you and introduce themselves, right? So, we were sitting there the other night though, and I was eating wings, and it was messy. And I was first thing that popped in my mind was whoever said that about the shirt. I was thinking, I wanted to say, Mandy, you got my extra shirt, but she wouldn't get it, right? So, yeah, I love it, man. Yeah, we need to keep that one. Keep that one handy, Emilio.
I got it.
That's a good shot there. So, all right, Jacob, you got anything, man?
No, you need to get Jacob off the screen before he.
I see what he's laughing at.
Eric's in the chat.
Awesome in a dumpster.
Yeah.
I look about Prince said, oh, bother Clayton just now. All right. Jacob, anything? You good, dude?
I'm good. I can't show Eric's comment, but Doug just, wow, Eric.
This just sums it up. I tell you, this chat, y'all going to get me cancer. Already got us demonetized. I blame Chris, the chat.
He got us demonetized.
Chris just sent this like 8 times
tonight. He has.
Chris, no. No.
Chris, go practice. Go hit a couple. Go hit a couple tonight for yourself and come back with it to us tomorrow.
Yeah. We'll diagnose.
So, yeah. All right, we're done. We're not doing a mock. I'm going to bed. I'm tired. I'm tired. I've been working out all day.
Jacob's got to check on his webcams anyway, so we got to get out of here, guys.
Yeah.
For those of you listening on the pod,
I swear to God.
It's the best sound drop, bro.
Everybody.
All right. Hope everybody has a wonderful evening. I want to thank everybody for hanging out with us in this joke of a show. But listen, it's like therapy for me getting on here and just cutting up with you guys. And again, this is the most research that I've done with the draft to date, simply because it's getting other people's opinion in real time. We're getting the chat's opinion. It's just a lot of fun, man. We dog on each other a lot, and we dog on the chat, and the chat dogs on us. But man, you guys and gals, just blessed that we've all got to kind of hang out and meet each other. Man, it's pretty darn cool. So that being said, let's wrap this thing up. Appreciate y'all hanging out. For those of you listening on the pod, thank you for making us a part of your day. Magic. Emilio, give your bed a car a
full synthetic. You know it.
Everybody have a wonderful evening. Thanks for y'all downloading, making us part of your day on the pod. We really appreciate it. As always, let's go out and be the change we want to see in the world, and go Pack, go.
The power sweep. Actually, it's the lead play in our offense.
We ask our YN or a tight end to open up somewhere between 6 feet and 9 feet. Get an isolation with the linebacker. Become a tackle. Take the defensive end if he's over him. If he's not, to drive down on the first man to his inside. If the YN has the linebacker taken out, he cuts inside. If the YN has the linebacker in, he comes all the way around. Look at this play where we're trying to get a seal here and a seal here and try to run this play in the alley.